Hey guys, it's LJ over here at Groomers Talk. We've got a whole bunch of different news for you guys this time. Obviously a whole bunch more about who we've got on, but also so much more about the world that you might not even know. All the insights of what's going on inside the grooming world, inside the AKC world. So don't miss out. Hang out with us for the next 40 minutes and we'll give you all the scoop that you need to know. This is Groomers Talk. Jay over here with Groomers Talk. I'm here with Nick Sklar, the entrepreneur of Groom Factory. So it's a newer business out there that's actually influencing our world greatly already today. So we're going to sit down with him, get all the information. So Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what got you started in this grooming world.
Boy, that's, we could have a multifaceted, multi-series aspect. I guess the first thing is I'm glad that you're starting this podcast. I look forward to the different people you have coming on, as you've told me some of the people you have coming, and there's a lot of really cool people in the industry. As far as for me, I've been in the dog world for, since I was 9, 10 years old. It's varied from starting with agility to different things, to selling products, shampoos, to sharpening, to helping design different products, working with Chris Christensen, and just evolving to, you know, now I've pretty much dedicated my life to terrier breeds. Earlier today, I was doing scent work with my terrier, and I mean, I guess ask questions. That's your job. Like I can literally talk about so many different topics in the industry. This is my life. This is what I do is dogs.
Well, how many years experience do you roughly have in the industry?
I got to make me put my age out there. 30 around there, I guess. So 25. So 22, we'll just say 22.
That was so everyone makes sure you're on the lower end of that age range.
25.
So, with that much experience, obviously you've been doing stuff in the past, both in the AKC world and the grooming world. With you starting Groom Factory, where are you aiming that to go into? Are you wanting it to be in both worlds or are you wanting to mainly focus on one side of that?
Hey there, have you checked out Naturally Inspirational yet? They offer some amazing products for both you and your pets. Their Dandelion Salve is a total game changer. It's perfect for easing aches, pains, bumps, and bruises. Plus, it's a natural healer for your dog's cuts, a moisturizer for their pads and nose, and can speed up wound healing by 50%. I use it for myself, my family, and all the animals in our care, and it's truly worked wonders. Don't miss out. Head to their website to grab your bottle today. And when you use the code GROOMERSTALK25, you'll get 20% off your first bottle. Get yours now and experience the difference at naturallyinspirational.biz.
So I was involved in the industry with sales with different companies for many, many years and decided this last year to kind of branch out and go out on my own. And one of the things that I noticed a lot of companies that I work with is they've been bought out with a lot of different private equity and stuff out there. And a lot of companies that we went ahead and grew up with and helped work with have changed formulas, changed how they do things. And it's a lot of profit over, well, the people in the industry. With Groom Factory coming out, one of the things that we're doing is we're doing a big focus aspect on actually family-owned companies again. So a lot of the ones that are coming, I know you guys aren't too familiar with, but like we have Smith and Burton coming. Toro, we're working with some of them you guys are aware of, is like Artero, you know, out of Spain. They're a family-owned company. So I know down the road, we're probably going to have to carry some of the bigger brands, unfortunately, but starting off, it is literally a family-based aspect. And a lot of these companies are from Europe. But that's where we're going is this industry is not a giant corporate aspect. There's a lot of family individuals with their grooming salons. So we're trying to get back to the roots and have that family aspect of these family companies and how they care, the things they're donating to the different grooming shows and what they're trying to do and the impact they're trying to make is very important to me.
Gotcha. So obviously with a family background and a lot of things that we've done here, especially if none of you guys know, we're actually related.
Some days. Today's one of those days.
Yeah. Today's one of those days. He'll actually agree with knowing me. But we've actually worked together for years. So now I'm more on the social media podcast side to where Nick's obviously more on the entrepreneurial side. But we're trying to come up with this way to make sure that it benefits both of us while benefiting you. So, but going back to what we were saying is obviously with the family background, with us both working together, it's obviously led that very strong into what you believe.
You know, now we've seen a big push in, especially Christensen, iGroom, Groomers Pro even, to where a lot of other companies included in that have sold out to a much bigger like corporate side of that. Are you wanting to actually see more of the grooming side go into corporate, or are you definitely wanting to keep that more family oriented, close knit? That way, so everyone kind of gets that family feel.
Honestly, it's the exact opposite. Chris Christensen himself is a dear friend of mine. I met him, I think, when I was 20. I actually helped him design the Big G and the Big K Slickers and other things throughout the years. And I have watched the corporate side care more about breed. They've switched a lot of different things that are manufactured that were made in Germany over to China. And while there's still many people employed by these companies that I have great relationships and I care about, the bottom line is it's all about profit. And people are getting left behind with that. So for me, it is actually to go ahead and work with the family-oriented aspect. I was actually already contacted with starting this by a private equity group. If once things start to grow, if like you get into talks to expand, they'd want to work with me to open multiple warehouses, and I already turned them down. That is not my goal. I have two daughters. I want my daughters to come up in this industry and do the same thing that I have and feel that family experience. So the corporate aspect is not for me. I know, you know, with corporate side, you do get different R&D developments and you get the money to build different things, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more the family aspect and just, you know, you can pick up the phone and call someone, or you have a certain breed of dog that you don't understand. You know, you can call our company and the person who answers the phone probably isn't going to understand what's going on, but they're like, oh, this person will give you a call back and they can give you breed specific aspects for this shampoo, or we've shown this dog, or we know some handler with this. And that's kind of where I want to go with it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And now you own dogs yourself too, correct?
Yes.
So what breeds you got?
Well, unfortunately, as time gets older, we're just down to one breed. I've lost my other dogs. But right now I'm down to a Scottish Terrier, but I've had multiple different breeds over the years. With being from the AKC world, starting at such a young age, having access to all the different handlers out there, I never had a specific breed that I chose. I wanted the Newfie. So I went over to people and, you know, I got a Newfie. I wanted the Corgi, so I went over to people and got a Corgi. And it just, and you know, I wanted the Norwich. So, you know, I went over to different people and got a Norwich. So it just varied throughout the years. And I actually got a Scotty inadvertently. I flew the dog somewhere for a grooming show for someone to use, and the dog adopted me. And I fell in love with the breed. And now I'm actually getting a puppy, and we'll be showing it. But yeah, my biggest thing lately has been terriers. This next week, I'm actually going and working with Allison Sunderman on some different things. But somehow through all the different breeds that it's just crazy that I've landed in terriers. Lately, I've been doing some judging with Barkley for entry level for terriers. And it's just what I like to do because not as many people know as much about them. And terriers are not nice. And learning that they can be the most lovable creature in the world, but they're a raptor at the same time. Like, I just really enjoy. Like I was saying earlier, my Scotty and I did scent work earlier today, and just people coming by, you know, like, oh, I've seen these dogs before, but they seem mean. And, you know, being able to be an ambassador for the breed, that's what I really enjoyed.
So with you obviously being in terriers, that kind of leads me into my next thought for you. I was looking at Fun in the Sun, and it looks like you're actually judging the wire class there.
Yes.
So I'm guessing at that point, then you have experience.
Well, I've been around terriers for years and years. And, you know, it's funny, as a child growing up, the different people that I got to work with were just the normal handlers. Like if you were to go to a dog show right now and see people running around the rings, they're just handlers there. When I was growing up and learning how to strip and different things, like I said, I'm going to go work with Allison. She was actually just a handler running around. Allison just judged Westminster. These people that taught me are now the gods of the industry that know everything. Where my terriers come from, they actually had the first two platinum Scotties ever. So that's actually my goal, is to go ahead with my new terrier that I'm getting, is to make it platinum. I've been around all breeds. It seems to be the biggest one I've ever been around is poodles, because of sharpening scissors, because that's what I'm known for. Is poodles. My daughters wanted poodles, but they don't want a poodle. They want a poodle, a full continental. And no, because that means it relies on me. So, but I've been around all breeds, but terrier just seems to be the one that just, after all these years, have tugged on my heartstrings.
I can feel the same way. I mean, obviously you stuck with the hair. I didn't. I went with the Amstaff, so I had way less hair to do with at the end of the day. So I commend you on that.
You know, it's a catch 22 because, you know, I remember when I used to have like a Newfie running around, I had corgis running around, and it's way less work with those breeds because how you wash them and different things, but there's way more hair that is just throughout your house constantly. And when you have the terriers, there's way less hair throughout my house, but it's actually way more work to keep the dog's coat where it needs to be. So just it's a catch 22 which direction you want to go.
I'll just keep my short hair. Thank you. at least I don't see it.
I have a couple of robot vacuums that go around. And yeah, because just when I had the double-coated breeds, it was just hair everywhere.
Every day.
Every day.
I remember us growing up as kids, we used to have this corgi, Mikey.
Yes.
And even years after that dog passed, God rest his soul, but we still would move furniture and things every day and still find tussles
balls
of hair.
Mikey's one of the reasons why I got into corgis. I had a couple different corgis. Corgis are actually the first breed I ever ran agility with down in Novi. Corgis are a great breed. I know for a lot of people out there, you come in and their nails are awful and different stuff. If you get them at a young age and you train them right, they're really nice. If not, they can be dicks.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think a lot of people like that out of the breeds and so forth. I was talking to someone just the other day to where they're like, well, they bred some of that nastiness out of them because it's not needed in the breed anymore. So where other breeds have still tried to keep that type of temperament sure. in there.
Well, and it depends on which aspect of the corgi you want to go with. You know, if you're going with the cardigan, they're going to be just naturally just meaner dogs. The Pembrokes, they're getting nicer and nicer. The temperament's getting better. But I'd say the same thing about terriers. I remember when I was a kid and just terriers, I just thought were just so awful. Like I remember learning how to strip with Steve and Debbie and I just getting nailed, just bit. And I just feel like the temperaments have shifted and how the breeding programs are working now to go ahead and work with these different dogs. They're such a different dog. If any of you guys got to meet, you know, my terrier at home, like just melt in your arms. Like it's just a fluff ball. You take it outside and it wants to eat every squirrel and turkey and anything under the sun and it just comes alive.
Well, and especially since that's still bred into what it's supposed to be doing for sure.
Absolutely.
So to get away from the dog aspect, obviously you've been set up at shows. You mentioned some of the brands that you carry. What are all the brands that you do carry and what do you kind of do at the shows?
Well, we do sharpening work. One of the things that I'm known for is I give seminars throughout the U.S. I was around before. If you guys are familiar with convex scissors, I started the industry before it was even a thing and got to rise with that. I got to go out and help design different scissors with different companies. So I do a lot of sharpening work at the shows. But then we go ahead and depends on which aspect. For the grooming shows, it's really tough because so many people come in and we have the different products out there. They kind of just fly off the shelves. At the AKC shows where they're showing, they'll bring the dogs in and they'll say, I have to breed a dog and I want to do this so we can grab different products off the shelves and get breed specific with them for what they want. One of the things that I like to do is really work with people for my dog is doing this. You know, I was in the warehouse today and I had a lady that came in and she had a brown poodle and working with different products for what she wants to go ahead and do and get into those different aspects. That's what I really enjoy doing. The grooming shows, once the seminars get out or once the doors open, it's very tough to talk to hundreds of people at once. The AKC shows, they kind of like trickle in more so you can work with them with their breed of dogs, get them the right products. But then it's nice too, the grooming shows, you know, you go to different areas. You know, you go to Chicago, you know, it's just a Hershey, you know, going to Florida for fun in the sun. You know, you just move around. The AKC shows, you see someone and you get to see the progression, what actually works. Or this product didn't work, or it almost got what I want. So let's tweak it for this and do that. And that's kind of where I really like to enjoy is working on the AKC side and seeing how they can change their grooming abilities.
Oh, and I think just from our conversations in the past, you've also worked on some consulting for other grooming shops and stuff like that too, to make sure that they're growing in the right way as well.
I used to do mobile sharpening for 600 to 800 grooming shops. Every 6 to 8 weeks, I'd go around and take care of all their mobile sharpening. So I got to understand workflows of facilities that ran lots of dogs to them or from people that worked one-on-one. And so, yeah, with this transition into opening Groom Factory, I got approached to help work with some different shops. So I've done some consulting work and how to improve flow and dogs and different things and processes. And so, yeah.
Gotcha. So are you still doing any of that consulting for other people or just, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Still doing that?
Yes.
So If you guys want any consulting, he's your guy. I help set you up with everything that you guys have questions on.
I just kind of fell into that. So it was not something I was looking for. It's kind of like everything in this industry, though. It just seemed to fall into every aspect of whatever it was. It's ever been ever evolving, from starting as a kid to learning how to sharpen clipper blades, to then learning how to do beveled edge scissors, learning what a corrugation is, learning different diamond machines, stones, lathing products, and then just building up from there, watching the industry shift and just kind of shift with it. It's just ever changing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about this industry is there's always something different to do every day. I didn't know I was going to be in a podcast. So like, this is something new and exciting how technology changes. So I like that there's always something new with every aspect.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know we've grown up together and I've seen so many things from our booth being milk crates out in front of the trailer with double K products sitting on top of it, just trying to sell it. Now we actually have carts. We have lights and everything else. And then even when you look at our tarot show, they even take it to the next level with how much you could put lights on just about everything.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a runway when you see all the photos. You know, I haven't seen anything in America, at least in my experience yet, that's compared to what our tarot's done overseas with that.
You got to go check out Super Dupe. That'll blow your mind.
Will it?
Oh my goodness. And you will be tired of walking. Make sure you take your step counter. It is log and it is a lot, but they have some crazy booths there. But yeah, and that boils back down to that evolution when we started with different things, just, you know, with the vans that we have. Like now I have a semi truck and how we go around, it's just shifted completely and just the growth. And, but I would say, yeah, in our industry, our tarot does put on one of the best booths out there. And their compassion for the industry and what they want to do are none to anyone.
And they've done something that very few people, I feel, have done in the industry, to where they've started overseas and were very successful. And it came to the U.S. not thinking they were going to hit it big, but they are now one of the biggest brands that stand in the U.S. that has come from overseas. Because there's a lot of other brands that have come from overseas, but I don't think any of them have reached the actual tout that that company has.
So, hey, Du, if you're watching this, I don't want to say this wrong. I can't remember if it's 100 years or 200 years, but they were around over there. If you ever get a chance to go overseas, one of the nice things is working with these manufacturers is I've been to a lot of different countries. Artero's main factory they have is absolutely amazing. But yeah, they came in this industry and what they've done, you know, Botanica's coming along and they're right there behind them. But their commitment, the people that they've hired, the people that they've worked with, what they've wanted to do. And the biggest thing, though, too, is their products work. And they want to work with you. If you ever go to a show and you see Lulu somewhere, she will stop and, you know, it's always, hey, dear, how are you? And if they do happens to be here, you know, he'll work with you on any products. I'll never forget the first year they were here. It's a PCA and just working with them and watching them grow has been a lot of fun. And they're just absolutely amazing human beings and they're very family oriented.
And I remember the first year PCA they were there and even just their booth then just coming in. A very fresh business. They still put on a very commanding presence as far as for what they've done with their booth because they're way ahead as far as for design. They're still making it look clean, but making sure they still have everything there for you.
Well, and that changes back to the aspect of the way grooming shows are done here and the way that AKC dog shows are done here. It's done way differently over there. You know, you look at Artero and go, this is a great brand, but if you actually go over to Spain and go to their facility and see how massive and insane it is, and some of the shows that you have from Groomania, the different ones, how they put things on, it is a show. They don't have shows like us, like every single week. Today, I didn't plan on going to Scent Trials this morning. I ended up there. You have that ability here. They have certain shows periodically, so they put on this big demand presence. And they don't have as much competition over there, so the companies that have made it have made this big. If you ever get a chance to go overseas and see some of the different shows, it's quite the adventure, but it's just... the shows over there just so different, unique from what we have going on here.
Mm-hmm. I hope one day to go over there to say, there's even the UK show coming up here in November. And I know my wife's going to drag me to one of those. You're coming up.
Yeah. And it's nice to the international shows. Like there's a new show coming up in Canada. I'll be going up to that one. And it's actually fun for me. I'm not speaking. I'm not doing anything there. I'm just going with friends. But like even how the Canadians put on different shows is completely different. So it's just fun to get those different ideas from the different cultures and then try and bring them back here and build this industry up to something different as well.
Oh, and it's just that, you know, and that gets back to the point to where, you know, you're very family oriented. You're starting a company, obviously, that's got all this distributorships, but you're also bringing your own touch to it. I feel that going overseas, it's even a much more different as far as for how they think about products, what they do with products, you know, how they feel about American products, how we feel about their products. It's a completely different game. I mean, if you've ever gotten on any of their pages for overseas, even for the show coming up, what they think of how you should do nails and whatnot, it leads you into a whole nother mind of thinking of how healthy this is or what this might do to the dog.
And that a lot of that actually would boil down to the regulations of like the EU and stuff, because, you know, there's, you know, some of them, they don't like allow you to go ahead and trim the whiskers on dogs. And, you know, a lot of these dogs need to have their whiskers trimmed. They're not cats. But it does vary, because the handlers here, there's hundreds of them, and they have kennels and they have stuff. The handlers there don't have hundreds of dogs. They specialize in one thing. So it is a big mindset difference. But the one thing I feel here is a lot of products are kind of pushed out. How can we private label things? How can we do things? A lot of shampoos, even though it says it might be made by someone, is actually made by this other conglomerate that's private labeling them out. A lot of the companies over there, they don't have that access. So the products that they've made work. Unfortunately, it's not as much for the grooming shop aspect. It's more for the show side. But what you can get, I'm finding, is so much better. It is a different industry, and I hope that you get to go over there and experience them. I just went over there and started making friends, and next thing I knew, I was trying products. My friends were trying products, and now I have a warehouse full of products from Estonia to Lithuania to New Zealand to just different products all over the place.
I mean, speaking of New Zealand, I know that's one of your newer lines. So if any of you guys don't know, Smith & Burton's from New Zealand. With that is an all-natural line that's come in there. That has really set the stage for a lot of what's going into our shampoo market now. Because, I mean, you look at a lot of what the products are from, you know, just pick a company. But, I mean, go to your PetSmart, Petco's. I mean, look what's on the shelf. Look at all the ingredients. If you don't know what's in there, I mean,
that's
you have
a whole
no idea.
Different aspect from what the public gets to what we get to get. At least what the groomers get to get is a much better product. But the scent, you know.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Smith & Burton, creators of professional, natural grooming products from the heart of New Zealand. Inspired by the purity of nature and guided by the principles of science, Smith & Burton carefully craft every formula with your pet's well-being in mind. From nourishing shampoos to gentle conditioners, their products are made with thoughtfully chosen ingredients that not only protect and care for your pet's skin and coat, but also reflect a commitment to quality, sustainability, and love for animals. At Smith & Burton, it's about more than grooming. It's about giving your pets the care they truly deserve. That's why they bring you the natural touch. We invite you to discover the difference today at smithandburton.com. As a special thank you, you'll receive 20% off your first order, no matter the amount. Because caring for your pet should never wait. Choose the natural way with Smith & Burton.
You know, things like Burt's Bees and stuff like that, that's all private labeled. But yeah, the different companies, they all have their different aspects. Like working with Soaposh, some of the products that they have for breed specific things that I can do. Like this, you know, talking about Smith & Burton, how they're 100%, well, sorry, not 100%, but it's like 99% natural. The things they're trying to go and include in like their hydrating shampoo and stuff. So it's fun to see how they've built that over there and trying to incorporate over here. Also working with them, New Zealanders are some of the nicest people ever. Like, I did not realize how nice they were, and they just want to see things thrive and grow. And it's been an absolute blast working with them.
Yeah. If any of you, me and Nick, we both had experience with people from New Zealand with working with Smith & Burton. But imagine America in the 1950s. Everyone helps out their neighbor. Everyone wants to make sure it goes well. No one's trying to screw over everybody. It's a much different pace than what it is over here. To really see what they're doing here and now trying to enter a new market with new distributors. And, you know, as such, trying to find new distributors such as yourself coming in here.
I guess that's one of the toughest things for them, is that they don't understand the cutthroat aspect of capitalism here in America. And they think everyone is just best friends. And so, yeah, them trying to navigate that. And, you know, it just, I completely agree. They are the just absolute sweetest people in the world. Like, we want to do this. What's been tried? And we're going to do this. And working with them has been a lot of fun.
So obviously talking about all these companies, most of them all have mission statements about what their goal is. Do you happen to have a mission statement or a goal for Groomers or Groom Factory?
my biggest mission statement is to go ahead and actually give products that are actually going to do something for the well-being of the dog and what you're trying to achieve. I want to keep it family-oriented. That's the biggest thing that I want. And I want to, I want to be known as the company that I'm showing this dog and I want to have this product in this aspect, or I'm in this grooming salon and we're running this, you know, we have well water, we have this, we're trying to do this, what product can we push through? Or, you know, we're more on the rural side with the farm dogs, you know, using these products here for what you're trying to do. You know, we're more in the city, like where we live, like, you know, go down to West Bloomfield and you have more of your show dog aspects. Like, we can help just get them into the products that are going to work the best for them and actually understand they're not dealing with a salesperson that's hired 6 months ago that doesn't really understand how products are made. I have spent my life going through different companies and how they manufacture shampoos, and I've worked with different ones. So helping that, so the biggest mission statement would be is that I care about the customer and make sure that they're happy and taken care of.
Now, obviously, in addition to this, you're making sure products are out there. Are you coming up with any products of your own that you're going to be moving, or is that something that's going to be in the future for a little bit?
I mean, we'll have to have me back on the podcast for a different time for that. So there's lots of ideas and things in my brain that I've worked with. So the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. There's also, too, due to NDAs and different things, there are some companies I'm working with behind the scenes right now that are going to be having some new sensors come out this next year that I'm working with. There's other companies that I'm working with too, but I do have my own ideas as well. But unfortunately, I own the Windy City Grooming Show, which is the first sanctioned show of the year. I'm opening up Groom Factory. I'm doing all these different things. I only have so much capacity. So as we start to grow and get more things, more employees, you know, happening, then yes, we're going to start to go ahead and go down that road. So the answer is absolutely, but just not now.
Right, right. You know, you were getting into that you actually own the Windy City Grooming Show. That I've seen take a toll on many people as far as for how the show is set up, as far as for what you got to put into it. Because a lot of people see the show and they're like, oh, well, these people just said they'd come and, you know, they get paid, whatever. It, you know, it's an easy process. I feel like it takes a toll on somebody to put one together, as well as also owning your own company. So it's multi-versatile of trying to get something together. How would you explain the feeling when putting all this together all in one shot?
Boy, that's multifaceted for the fact that I'd like to say I'm a little bit different for the fact that I've been going to shows my whole entire life. When I decided I want to make a show, I understood a lot of aspects that go into it. I have watched a lot of grooming shows fail over the years because of how much that goes into it, how much is behind the scenes. It's a lot. In the beginning, there was a lot of stress that went into it, figuring different things out. Now, a lot of system and process we have in play, it's not as bad, but a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to create my own show. I'm going to do this. And, you know, I want more shows out there, but I've watched so many fail over the years because it's a lot. Tenacity that you have to keep going, or when you fail or you make mistakes, there's a lot. And then the decisions all fall on you. And then you get there and you think everything's perfect and then everyone's upset. And thankfully we've had multiple years to go and help this grow. And I didn't want to have a normal grooming show with my background from the AKC world. A lot of the grooming shows you go to, you have your grooming competition and you have a trade show. I wanted to bring the AKC world and the grooming show together. So I put mine in conjunction with a giant dog show. So you can actually groom your dog and then you can actually go show it. That's one of the things we're working on right now. You talk about stress. I had some people reach out to me that they want to go ahead and bring their dogs. And they're like, when are they showing these breeds? And then trying to work with the show, with the judges panel and how they're handling that out. Like, can we extend this out a little bit farther with the judges? We're going to switch judges around. People that are competing in the morning then can actually show in the afternoon. But my goal is to bring the two worlds together. Many years ago, when you go to a grooming show, the grooms were very nice. But then I turn around and go back to an AKC dog show and they'd have the breed standards and this is how the dogs looked. So I'd go back to the grooming shows and it just wouldn't be the same quality as what I was used to from the AKC world. And now that it's done a complete 180 with America going over and winning golds the past years and stuff, they're going for that AKC aspect and a lot of people are getting relationship handlers for these well-bred dogs. So having that converge together has been nice because people from the grooming world then can go over and see the people. And I know multiple people that have went to our shows and have started working with handlers and different things to get that hands-on knowledge and things as well.
Now going on that, you say it's flip-flop so much. I mean, do you think, I know a lot of people have their own opinions. I'm just kind of curious what yours is. Do you think that the AKC world is standing on its own 2 feet and is going to continue for the next 100 years? Or do you think that it's having a hard time and it's struggling and, you know, trying to get new people into that part of the industry is a challenge right
now? Well, okay. So the AKC world will be here 100 years from now. That's not a doubt in my mind. They are going down in dogs. I remember big shows that I would go to 5,000 to 7,000 dogs. That's not the case anymore. A lot of young people aren't getting into the breed anymore. A lot of people don't understand that Doodles are not an AKC bred dog. So the AKC world is going down, but the grooming aspect and grooming is rising at a significant pace. So that's actually why I tried to put the two together so we could have this knowledge base work together with them to help build both worlds together so they can work out equally as well.
Gotcha. And are you doing any classes at your show for people to come see how different groomings work or breed types or textures or anything like that?
So right, we're in talks right now to have people come in. I cannot officially announce it here, but we're changing some classes around. We're doing some new things on Sunday. One of them, if we get everything put in play, I don't want to say never been done. Maybe it has been done before, but it was years and years ago. But we're trying to do some different class types and stuff with that. I just can't make that announcement yet because it's not set in stone. And if I word it wrong or if I say the wrong thing, well, 3 months from now, it's going to bite me on that. So, but yeah, we're doing some different things with that.
When do you think the information might be available online that way so people can kind of go see what to expect and possibly pique an interest to go?
I want to say last week.
That's usually how it works with us.
The thing is right now is what we're trying to go ahead and build as a coordination with different judges. And the judges that we have are not from the grooming world. We're building that with the AKC judges that we have. We're trying to coordinate judges that are already at the show for what we're trying to accomplish. So right now, the biggest thing is getting everything in play and all of our ducks in a row before we announce that. So soon. Soon.
When that does,
I mentioned that I'm going to go work with Terriers with Allison. There's another reason why I'm going down there because Allison's one of the people I'm working with for that this next week. So,
gotcha. So, just for future reference, so people can keep an eye out for it, what would be the website or link or whatever to go to that was so they can possibly look at what's upcoming at your show?
So, the website for that would be WindyCityGroomingShow.com. We keep it up year round with a countdown calendar on it. If you go to it right now, the information you see will be from the previous year. We'll make an announcement. We'll make any class changes or anything on there, but it's coming soon. We're working on it. We have it all in the background. Once everything finalized, we'll put it out there. We'll make some social media posts, put it out some of the Facebook groups so people know where it's at.
Gotcha. And just shooting us out there, do you guys do any specials as far as for like this week, there's sales on if you want to attend our show and see some of our classes, or is it just, it is what it is?
Well, we're still working on if we're going to have the classrooms this year or not. I have multiple people that want to speak. We have some people that we're working with want to do some cat classes and stuff. Right now, I'm trying to find the space. So I don't have an answer on that yet.
We'll just build the building bigger.
We already moved buildings. So we're trying. So hopefully in the future, we'll be able to go ahead and offer that. But it's with those classrooms that, yeah.
Okay. So getting back to Groom Factory here near the end of our podcast here, because we are starting to get short on some time here. Obviously, with you going to shows, you know, not everyone goes to shows. I know that you're still working on a site and that's going to be up. What is going to be the website that people can look for when that finally does come?
So we're doing finalization right now. This upcoming week, we're working on inventory control. We're working. We could have it already pushed out there, but we want an automated process that links between everything that works with POs to be automated with it. The website is groomfactory.com. Shout out to my different friends. I did not pick the name. Some friends of mine did. And so, yeah, groomfactory.com.
Well, hey, we look forward to that. So we do appreciate you coming on the podcast, obviously telling us about a lot of different topics, not just about what your shop is and what it's all about, but obviously how it obviously all entangles into itself and what it does for our world and the grooming side of it, as well as even what it can do for the pet owners.
Absolutely. And I would love to come back because I could sit here and talk about this industry forever. Like I said, you know, 20 something years in this industry, this is what I do. This is what I enjoy. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So, hey, you guys keep an eye out here for Nick. He'll make sure that he's at a lot of the grooming shows just for you guys, as well as some of the AKC shows. And if you don't catch him there, obviously the site should be up or up shortly. So check him out. He might even have some specials online for you. So keep it real. We'll see you next time on Groomers Talk.
Thanks, guys.
Hey guys, this is LJ over here from Groomers Talk. Obviously, we just listened to another fantastic podcast. Now, we want to keep these podcasts going, so don't hesitate to share, subscribe. That way, so we get this out there to everybody who needs to hear this. Groomers, pet owners alike, we want you listening to this. That way, so you get informed. So, like, subscribe, share, find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We will be there all for you all the time. You'll get the latest updates on anything that we're doing. So don't miss out. Make sure you share, and we'll see you next time here on Groomers Talk.